Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, the podcast where father and son take the kitchen table arguments and heated discussions from their home directly to yours. Jim and Jack Boyle will explore the world as only they can. We might even let a few guests join the fun. So sit back, choose a side, watch the water temperature rise, and enjoy stimulating generational conversation about sports and life.
Welcome to episode 36 of It All Boils Down to This. We got a lot going on today. Jack is joining me, of course. We got some guests, hopefully two guests. Definitely going to have Jay Trev to do his mock draft analysis, draft analysis of where the pages are. As you can see, I got myself a new shirt from AD Dennis Ingram. This is the Wildcat, our 01877. Also want to give a shout out to my guys, Nolan Joyce, Noah Spencer, Eric Spinney, and Michael Dinan, who were with me at the beginning of my coaching career. They're finishing up their senior year. So shout out to those guys. Jack, welcome in. Hopefully we'll have an exciting show. Once we get Jay Trevor, we've got a lot of us to talk about. I want to kick you off with your boy, Scotty Scheffler, again dominant. I've been wrong 2 weeks in a row, so I have to admit I'm wrong on the air.
The funniest thing is your brother's the same way. He's like, well, I bet against him the next tournament because what he's doing is so impossible. It's like, yeah, but he keeps doing it. Like, you keep betting against, you keep losing. I mean, he's too good right now. It's like they say with people used to, I guess, the quote with Tiger. It's like, if he putts well, he'll win. If he doesn't putt well, he'll be in contention. And that's just what he's doing right now. He's either winning or he's finishing top five.
Right. And that's, yeah, and he's been, I have to say that he shot a 63 on Saturday, so he's good. So eventually, I know he's not playing this week because this week is the thing down in New Orleans where it's like team play. And I'm sure he'll be back a week or two, take a week off.
The baby? Well, he has to have the baby, yeah.
Baby's supposed to come this week, right? 25th, well, Friday.
What he's doing in golf right now is it should, I know the Masters had terrible ratings and all that. The PGA, there should be a huge storyline around him coming into this tournament. And I've been saying this for a while. Like, I really want him to win this tournament. I'm very.
I agree. The PGA is going to have Koepka versus Scheffler. I mean, it's everything.
Koepka's no. Don't. That's so insulting to Scheffler right there.
Koepka won last year.
I don't care.
He's a defending champion.
Still don't care. Scheffler's going to kick his ass. I mean, kick his ass. And I don't think those two like each other that much, even though they played together. And remember when they played together and it was like the worst Ryder Cup loss in the history of Ryder Cups.
This is true.
So we'll see going in. It's honestly the most excited I've been going into a major for a while now, because just right. The storyline, if he wins, he's starting to have one of the greatest years in the history of golf. He's not even halfway. If he wins the PGA, he's not even halfway done with the season. It's already one of the best seasons ever.
Correct.
He'll already have five wins.
Well, he's got to get to 10.
No, he's not going to get to. He doesn't have to get to 10. He has to get to. What he has to do is get to three majors.
I think if he gets two majors, that's a phenomenal year. That's how I look at it. It's tough.
Yeah, people have done two majors before. Not many people. Three doesn't never happen.
Right.
Did it happen more than once? Twice?
I had to look back, but Tiger's last one to do it when he did the Tiger Slam 2001. Hey,
that's all that matters about golf right now.
No, we'll stop golf. April, we got our loyal listener Brian Kane sent me an email the other day, and he does say April's the greatest month, sports month. Everybody argues, but a lot going on. You know, he said you got baseball starting, the Masters, you have a football draft, which we're going to talk about. You have the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, NCAA tournament. So I just want to give a shout out to Brian, a loyal listener. He's been around. I got to get him on there. The rumor is he is coaching the Orioles in Little League again for probably like the 40th year. So, and he's like 49. So he's doing pretty good for himself.
He's Bill Russell, a player coach.
Yeah, he was like 18 or 19 when he took over that team.
He's drafting himself.
No, he always drafts well. I have a couple kids playing for me that play for him. So
how many titles has he got? He's got a couple titles, right?
Oh, he's probably got 5, 8, 10. It's tough to win. There's only four teams now, though, Jack. You played with 8. There's only four.
Yeah, it was way better. It was more there was more theater.
Hey, that brings me to the baseball, the Sox. We're going to touch on them real quick. I know that some of the guys on your fantasy team have been hurt. We have Cashman. What's going on?
I don't care about the Sox. What do you mean?
Injuries
have – baseball players got injured. That never happens. It's just that's baseball every year. They say there's stats, even the Tommy John. It's the same thing as recent years, all the things. Yeah, it just sucks. Tristan Cashas, he's going to be out for a while. They said he fractured something, so he's out for a long time. So the Red Sox, I can't even be bothered to watch, because I would watch the Red Sox. It was like Devers and Cassius, like Duran. I like to watch.
Right.
I mean, they're all gone. Devers has been, I mean, he's been hurt basically the whole year, and like he's done nothing. So the Red Sox are useless. Baseball's, I got my fantasy team. I'm enjoying the baseball season. Everyone likes to complain about it. You're like, oh, what's going on with the injuries? I don't care. I'm enjoying it.
Okay, let's real quick. What's the best news the Red Sox have shown us this year?
Well, they've won. Their pitching. Their pitching's been great. But yeah, that's not gonna last. I mean, they play 6 months for a reason. They're not gonna have the best year. I'll tell you what. In September, when the year's over, they will not have the best team ERA. They won't, or starter ERA. They won't.
I don't think so either. But again, it's a positive to look forward to. We got something going on. I look at that lineup. That's a freaking Triple A lineup. Jesus, what are we watching? Connor Wong hitting fifth, Valdez hitting second. This is just a nightmare for Cora and actually for everyone. And now that everybody's hurt, they have to. Their 40-man roster is so compact that they're going to have to cut people to bring guys up to actually play at the major league level. So a tough first year for our good friend down there, Craig Breslow. But you can't be negative if they're winning more than they're losing. They're playing great on the road. They suck at home. We'll have to try to figure that one out. We'll talk about it at home, switching over to the NBA. Celtics completely dominated. I know you were out golfing and we were watching sporadically. Completely dominated. And then Cleveland is now dominating Orlando. So it looks like I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but I think your prediction was right about these first two rounds of the playoffs for the Celtics.
I think Orlando, I saw something that like 17 for 72 from three. So that's not going to cut it at all in the NBA. So yeah, that the Celtics, who cares? It's such a useless series. There's just such a talent discrepancy there. I didn't even watch the game, but I could have told you that was going to happen Wednesday night. They're going to kill them. I don't even know the schedule. The series probably going to be over by the time we talk next in the next podcast. The only thing we're talking about.
You're scratching against your
Better. Okay. I don't
zip it all the way up.
So I don't care about those games. It's more of the Knicks Sixers series. Everyone talking Stephen A, who was sitting right there. Remember I pointed him out?
Yeah.
He was saying that was a mugging. He fouled him like crazy. He's a Knicks fan. But that's an interesting series. We can talk about that. And then the West, I haven't watched the late games and the Denver Lakers things. And it's every time I saw Lakers and LeBron fans were complaining. This is
again.
No. Forget the fouls and all that. They were complaining about how they were like, geez, we have to play a championship contender in the first round. It's like, it's because you're the seventh seed. Yeah.
Two things I want to ask you about. The Sixer game, which you and I watched that end, was just a disaster for Sixers. Brunson had been 1 for 8 or 1 for 7 from the free and just shooting a crappy game. Somehow, a miracle of physics, that ball hits the front edge of the rim and bounces. He must have had a good spec. Bounces up and hits the three. And then they mug Maxi. Coach Nurse is trying to call timeout. The officials ignore him. Maxi, stupid, doesn't call timeout. Ball bounces around. They can't pick a rebound. Embiid is not healthy. You could tell on that rebound. He didn't have enough. He couldn't bend over and grab it. And then DiVincenzo hits the three. But there's still opportunity twice. And what is going on? Why is Embiid, who's the reigning MVP, never touched the ball in two possessions? I think that's more of an indictment on the Sixers than choking the way of the 5-point lead.
I don't know. And they have like the best coach in the NBA, one of the great minds of the NBA. Again, if the Celtics did that and they're like,
they'd be annihilated.
Like, imagine that, like the way they'd be getting talked about right now. And I'm sure they're talking about it. Like, the thing is, though, if you're like Philly talk radio, they'll give like Embiid a pass a lot. I feel like not a lot of people just slam Embiid. And again, I've said it the whole year, he's getting screwed by his organization. He should have just been shut down the whole year. They're almost better off than losing now. Just get ready for next year. He's getting screwed by having to play, and it looks bad on him. But again, he's not getting much criticism, so who cares?
I think it's a matchup issue with the Sixers and the Knicks. Knicks aren't big, and they just one thing I've noticed, and they talk about this on the broadcast, is offensive rebounds, they're dominating because they don't rebound. They tap it back out. So eventually somebody's going to scout that, and that tap won't work, and to tap it to the wrong guy, have a break the other way. But I thought that Nick Nurse, I know he tried to call timeout, but, you know, if you're going to have the best player on the floor, and they do, Embiid is the best player on the floor, he's got a touch ball in the closing minutes. And if he misses, he misses. I think he missed the three-pointer at the buzzer, but that's irrelevant. On to the West Coast Lakers. All I wake up to, LeBron has his post-game preference. He walks out and says the officials suck. Well, we know the officials suck. And that wasn't a foul. It was about how do they overturn it? What do they watch? If he doesn't stop bitching, you know, it, just play. If you lose, you lose. They had a 20-point lead they blew. So that tells me they are not a championship competitive-driven team. Oh. And Jokic just dominated. But again, the other game that I didn't get to see, but New Orleans won. Who'd they beat? No, who played Okies? New Orleans played Okies.
Thunder?
Yeah, and they lost by two at home, Thunder. So NBA is a crapshoot. I think the Celtics are a really good matchup against Miami.
The Thunder won. The Thunder beat the Pelicans.
Yeah, the Pelicans only lost by two.
Lost by two. Okay. Yeah.
And then back to Celtics. Celtics match up really well with the Knicks. They match up really well with Cleveland. They match really well with Miami. And in reality, if Giannis doesn't come back, they match up really well.
Yeah, dude, okay, there's not a team they don't – like, even the Nuggets, who are good, they still match up good with them. It's right. Like, there's not a team they don't match up good with. What don't they have? They can shoot and they have size. They match up good with – if you can play defense – or forget even playing defense. That's almost to do with size. If you have size – And you can shoot. You're gonna match up with anyone.
Correct. I think again, they just have to keep maintain. Don't get cocky. Don't get over. Don't go when they had trouble in the game against Miami when they went ISO stuff again. When they spread the floor, I don't think there's a team that can beat them if they spread the floor. Even if they're not hitting 100% of their shots. That second on that is the officiating, which I think is horrible. Anyway, you know who I think Scott Foster was officiating the Laker game. So bring up him again.
I feel like I saw Scott Foster on Madison Square Garden game one.
Was he the Madison Square Garden? Oh, so he was.
I think he was, yeah. But it wasn't not game two. That was not Scott Foster. You would have heard Scott Foster's name more if that was game two.
Game two?
And they didn't make that call when I thought that was a – I thought that was – but, yeah, the officiating is the officiating. It's no – again, you think it's horrible and all, but it's no different than it was last year or the year before, really.
Right. I think they were like letting them play and not let it depends. Sometimes let them bang, like in that Knicks game, the final 30 seconds, and sometimes they call ticky tack stuff. So it's just, I'm seeing if I get to who the official here. Hold on, they don't have that in the box.
It doesn't matter. Who cares who the official was? Yeah, whatever.
Scott Foster was the official. And
they got him up. I probably saw him at the guard. Maybe
so the NBA is off and running. I remember we were watching the Bruins last night. And again, we don't do a lot of Bruins talk here. You come in the room and said, Austin Matthews hasn't done a damn thing. And then he scored. You come back in the room and say, hey, he just scored the game winning goal. Again, they're a good team, but they're not, I don't think they're a contender watching them. They don't shoot the puck. It's weird. And what's going on with the switching goalies, two goalies, just play Swayman or play Olmark and make the decision. And now the coach has an out because, well, he's trying something different. But you watched some of that game. Were you not impressed with Mr. Matthews?
The first game he sucked. He missed an empty net the first game. So I was like going to make it my thing. I'm going to be a hater of this guy. I got people saying he's going to end up being the greatest American hockey player ever. He scored 69 goals in the regular season. He missed an empty net basically against the Bruins in game one. Last night in a big situation, he got the puck, got a breakaway, and he scored. 69 goals. You should score in that situation, but he did in the third period with like 5 minutes left to go up a goal down one to win the game on the road. So that's a big goal. And then he made what I saw a really heads up play on a loose puck when the Bruins had the goalie pulled. They had the goalie pulled for about a minute and a half. They got a decent amount of chances. They got a really good chance one, and the puck kind of was like underneath the goalie next to the goal, and the goalie didn't know where it was. And Matthews was right there and tucked it under the goalie's pads and kept it from anyone getting a rebound scored. So that was a real good heads up play with him. So I'm not going to hate on him anymore. I like the I like that he scored and he's also making the plays like that. And I don't know anything about hockey.
We are very short on hockey knowledge here. Well, at some point, if the Bruins would make the Stanley Cup Finals, we could have to get somebody on here who knows what he's talking about.
Well, Kevin was at the game and he's a regular on this.
Who was at the game?
Kevin
was at the game. Yeah. Is he calling in today or not?
Nah, I don't think so. I think he's still working. Yeah.
All right. Good. I my favorite subject was fantasy domination because I do have to give myself.
Who cares?
Yeah. I didn't need to pat myself on the back. I destroyed you by like 200 points. Don't give me that crap.
My team's a disgrace. There was like this this chart. Wait, I gotta find it. I don't have it on this phone because I got a new phone. But there was a chart. It was like lowest expected batting average or whatever. And Nolan Jones number one. Castellanos is like four. I'm dropping Castellanos, but. My team, they just suck. So I don't care. You did, yeah, good for you. Whatever. We'll see in the playoffs. Yeah, again, like we said, you haven't won the live ball there. All right, what's next? Are we going to football soon?
Yeah, we got one more thing, and I just because I find this hilarious because the Porter family is a bunch of idiots.
Oh, Jesus.
Michael Porter Jr. said that his teammates had him after the tough day he had. Well, he had a tough day because his brother got busted for gambling and is gone for the ever in NBA. And his other brother was drunk driving and killed somebody. He's in jail for 4 years. So I just wanted to bring that up. The NBA, who can't love it? So on to our main topic today, and hopefully we'll have Jay Trev shortly. Have you text him?
I'll tell him to join.
I wait for him to come on. We're going to do NFL draft with Jay Trev here. And I have not seen the his stuff. So Jack hit
all right.
That.
So what I want to do though, like, who do you want the Patriots to? What do you want the Patriots to do? I want them to trade it. I'm not a scout. I don't know anything about the quarterbacks. We'll ask Jay Trev what he wants them to do. He has a mock draft, which I don't know if this mock draft is what he wants to do
or what he thinks
or what he thinks is going to happen. So we'll have to ask him that. But I want them to trade it.
I shall. One of the custodians of school, Ryan, is a big, big fan. He's watching, and I told him to give him a shout out. And he thinks if you're going to build for the future, to make a good solid team, you got to trade down and get assets, because that's one of the questions. Is trade capital is big at three, and if you're not completely sold on May, or not completely on any of the quarterbacks could be there, you trade down and live with it for a year. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. They should have gone after Justin Fields or something. But I think I really think the chatter now has been they're going to trade down. Now, again, that chatter could change in 2 days. But I would accumulate as many assets, because if Minnesota and Oakland and Las Vegas want a quarterback, they're going to give you capital for your pick. And then you build your team from the ground up, and then, you know, get a veteran quarterback who can be serviceable, who's not Mac Jones or not the other freaking idiot they had there. Whatever the guy's name. Maybe you get lucky and get a Brock Purdy, but that's what I think. And he has not called in yet, so I'm waiting to see him bump up. But that's what I believe. It's hard to pass, but, you know, the number two pick a couple of years just got traded to Denver for a sixth round pick and eating the money. And that's Mr. Wilson. And the Patriots dropped Mac Jones for nothing as well. Josh Fields got traded for nothing. And, you know, and again, it's a crapshoot. Draft a quarterback that early is a crapshoot. Here he is now. Let me bring him in. So we're going to welcome in. I just admitted him. Where is he?
Unbelievable.
There he is. All right. Justin's connecting. This is awesome. Live.
All right. You never let me make the point here, but while we're waiting for Jay Trev, I was going to say about why trading the pick. It's like they could draft Patrick Mahomes and they still wouldn't make the playoffs next year.
Right.
It's like they're so far away. And again, if you're not sold in the quarterback, you're not sold in the quarterback. So it looks like Jay Trev's having a little.
Jay Trev, he unmuted.
He unmuted.
There he is. Jay Trev, look at this. I'm rocking the 01887 shirt. Your buddy Dennis Ingram gave me this one.
I need to get one of those. You impressive, rocking all this new gear.
It's just brand new.
I'm rocking my Colts.
I got the Colts. All right, well, Jay Trev, we've teased everybody about this mock draft of yours. Jack had a couple questions to me early. Jack, why don't we ask those questions in first?
I'm gonna question him through his draft. I'm sure he has it up. But so we obviously, number one, we don't even have to talk about it. We'll say real quick thoughts on Caleb Williams. I know. Now, wait, we had to ask before we started this. Is this mock draft what you think or like what you want? Like,
what I think.
Okay, so then.
Okay, so we'll get two answers from you then.
So then, the question is, do you think Caleb Williams is the number one pick?
Yes, but I think it's a 1A and 1B situation. I don't think it's as clear cut and as a sizable gap as some people say.
Is that a clear gap between one and two, or quarterback one and quarterback two?
Quarterback one and quarterback two.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm really high on May. I think he's got some traits that I think will serve him better at the next level than even it did at UNC. And, you know, part of his career playing in an offensive scheme like Phil Longo's, where it's not the most translatable to the NFL, I think at the next level he could be even better, some of his traits that he has.
And what is holding him back at this point, Drake May?
I mean, consistency, game to game. You know, he can get a little sporadic with his accuracy, but a lot of that's mechanical related, so I think that's something that can be coached. But in terms of, you know, playmaking ability off the script and on script, you know, inside the pocket and outside, I think he's someone that, you know, you can build around.
Can he step in and play right away?
Yeah, Now, not without hiccups. I mean, there's probably going to
Oh,
be
they're
a
gonna
good
have
year.
hiccups. Could he be? Could he be the Wilson of the draft?
Yeah, I think, I mean, like you do like starter bust star. I'd probably put bust at like 10,
Okay,
15%. I
that's
mean,
it.
he's a
I take that. So
yeah.
I assume if you have him as your number one and one
Oh,
A,
wait.
you hit, but go Jay.
Wait, there's a lot. So there's a lot to unpack there with what he just said, because now we're gonna get into like he's gonna disagree with his mock draft. Because number two, you have the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Why? Do you think they like him more than May?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm kind of falling guilty of, you know, paying attention to a lot of the, you know, what's being phrased out there.
Yeah.
But it seems like him and the Commanders have kind of been connected throughout a lot of the process. And I think the Commanders could look to someone with I'm not gonna say Daniels is a safer pick because I don't think he is, but I think some teams view him like that because of his, you know, his accuracy outside the numbers and also his scrambling ability. But yeah, I think May is a better quarterback.
So
So,
then,
yeah, sure.
wait, no, going on now. So you have what he has at three is he has the Patriots trading it to the Vikings and the Vikings taking Drake May. Now, you would disagree with that as a Patriot. You would want the Patriots to take May there, right? You wouldn't want them to trade it.
Yeah, if the Pats, I mean, here's the thing though. I think it has to be process oriented. So if the Pats, if Elliot Wolf and the staff, if they're not high on May, then you know you don't take them just to take them. Like you trade out of that pick because you get this pick wrong, it sets you back probably the entirety of the rookie contract, which is 4 years. So you got to follow your process. You got to stick to what you believe in. And you know if they don't like the guy who's there at three, whether it's May or Daniels. Are you JJ, Kevin's guy? I think you got to trade out of it.
Hey, question on Daniels. What's the so we had the bust we had the bust on May at 10%. Was that what you said, 10?
Yeah, I
What's the
maybe.
bust on Daniels and on Williams?
Williams, I go. I think Williams has a little bit of a bigger bust potential because of
Yeah.
intangibles. But like his ceiling to me is higher. But I think some of his intangibles where, you know, I don't know if he thinks he's like this businessman or I don't
Oh
like
yeah.
I just think he's a little self-centered, which in a it might not be the worst thing. I mean, like clearly it's gotten him to where he is, but you know, if he starts prioritizing that stuff over football, he's gonna fall behind, you know, his own learning curve a little bit. So I'd probably put Caleb at like 20%
Yeah.
and put Daniels at about 30,
So
35.
Daniel's the highest, the lowest floor, and Williams the highest ceiling, is what you're saying. Or is May's higher
Yes.
ceiling? Is
Yeah.
May's Who's got the higher ceiling, May or Dan or Williams?
I think May.
Okay.
I think May.
So why are we trading the pick?
I mean, the Pats
So,
are far away. So
yes.
if they're not in love with the quarterback, I think you accumulate assets and, you know, in this projected trade, what did I go 3 to 11? So it would be 11-23, and that's not enough based on trade value charts and
They'll get a first rounder
exam.
for 2025, I think,
So
right?
they'd get a first rounder at 25. So, I mean, in my mock draft, I didn't do this, but they could even package, you know, they could kind of move up and down the board and they could even package, you know, a couple picks to move back up to say 5 or 6 and maybe get Daniels or McCarthy or, you know, whoever's there.
Right.
You know, if they don't like the guy in three, but then a few picks go by and they're like, hey, he's still sitting there. Like, I mean, there's that chance too.
Okay,
So,
since you're talking about quarterbacks, what, Jack?
I gotta say, so Jay is so high on Drake May that it's I just that's one of these things I'll never forget. It's like when he said, like, I never forget Andy Reid would like never win a Super Bowl. This is one of those, like, if Drake May is a bust, I'll never forget this. I'll never forget Jay Trev like being in love with him. I'm huge on Caleb Williams. Like, I think he's kind of like he's off-putting personally. I'm sure he's horrible like to be around and all that, but I think he's gonna be a great quarterback. So that's my take on these three quarterbacks is that Caleb Williams is gonna be Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
So
I hope if Caleb Williams is a Hall of Famer, the Bears are in a good spot, and that's good. We need the Bears doing well this year.
we have the three quarterbacks, and I know we have three receivers, and we'll talk about them in a second. What's the gap between the third quarterback and the fourth quarterback and whether it, and who all needs quarterbacks if the Patriots trade down? So Minnesota would take third. They need one.
So
and who else?
Las Vegas, but they're picking what are they picking at? They're picking at 13. So
could they if the Patriots get 11 and whatever, what, Jack?
Wait, did you ask him the difference between the third and the fourth quarterback? Because I looked this. So the third and the fourth quarterback, the thing is, now we have his mock draft. We have to go to J. Trev's big board because J. Trev has a different third ranked quarterback than you would imagine.
Yep.
So he's got McCarthy ahead of Daniels?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. J. Trev's my third quarterback.
So okay, let's rephrase. So let's say McCarthy is picked by the somebody picks May and the Patriots want it May, but Minnesota wants to move up or Vegas wants to move up and they can make a deal and they get, let's say they go to 11. Would Daniels drop to 11?
I don't see it.
No, okay, he's going to get picked. Somebody is going to move up ahead.
I think so. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I guess the situation could play out, but I just think there's a few too many needy teams that.
All right, so Jack had asked about, I think the trade capital might be more important right now for this team than anything else because it's a new regime. They you break a quarterback and it's a bust, you're done for 5 years. I don't understand why they go after a guy like Fields or even Russell Wilson because he was free, but that's neither here nor there. So we're at three and we got the three quarterbacks are gone. So who's he got at four then, Jack?
Well, four, he could say. I mean, he is the guy that I think he has a number one on his big board. Everyone probably agrees he's the best in the draft, right? So he has Marvin Harrison Jr. there. J. Trev, you think he's the best player in the draft? Obviously, he's a receiver. You can't take him one, all that sort of stuff. But you think he's probably the least bust potential for doing that sort of thing?
Right. That's why I put him in number one, because I think he's a comparable prospect to say he's probably the best one to me since Julio Jones. Whereas Caleb Williams, I don't think he's as, I would say safe or of
the
a guarantee.
The floor is a little lower on him. He could drop.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. But if Caleb hits, because he's a quarterback and that positional value, like he's easily the number one prospect. But on my board, I just put Marv there because I do think day one, he's the safest and the biggest guarantee. And I think he's the best receiver prospect in at least 10 years.
And four is Arizona, and Arizona needs receivers.
Right. I'm
going to ask a really off the wall question here. The one team right now who needs receivers, if they are a competitive team, is Buffalo. And there are a lot of good receivers in this draft, but they're never going to drop that far. Would Buffalo ever make an opportunity to get up to get Neighbors or Ozune or Harrison? Would that? Do they have the capital to do that? And would it make sense?
I don't think it would make sense because of all the players they've lost in free agency. They've kind of done a little bit of a reset here around Allen.
Okay.
And I think they need as many assets as they can to kind of build that back up.
All right. So you've got Harrison at four and then five. If there's no trade, it's the Vikings pick. Who's got a five, Jack?
The Vikings, you mean it's the Raiders? Not the Raiders. You have the Chargers pick. J.J. has the Raiders trading for it, right? So J.J. has Harbaugh trading the pick to the Raiders.
Oh, he's not picking McCarthy. Please, dear God.
The Raiders franchise quarterback, Jeff Kreitzer, will be watching J.J. McCarthy. So J.Trev, Kevin's blowing a gasket right now. He's probably been blowing a gasket for like 5 minutes listening to this because you had said McCarthy was over J.T. Daniels. What do you like so much about McCarthy? Because you're one of you clearly agree with like Zolak and all this. You must have loved his pro day.
Yeah. So just to start, I think those, and this isn't a shot at Kevin or anyone specific, I think those who set McCarthy at that Michigan called the offense because of McCarthy's limitations, I think that's absolutely asinine. Jim Harbaugh has a way that he likes to play. They had a great running game. They had a great offensive line. They play in the Big Ten. They were the most physical team in the country. They can win that. They didn't need J.J. McCarthy going up there and throwing 30 times a game. So, I think that's a terrible, terrible argument. That proves nothing. Second, I think McCarthy's intangibles are the best in the draft. I think Harbaugh, when he talks about McCarthy, I think, you know, he's a little over the top about it. But at the same time, like, NFL teams are really high on his intangibles. You get him in a meeting room. You get him behind closed doors. As a leader on the whiteboard, what, you know, whatever questions you ask him, I think he's got that it factor. He's a winner. He's tough. And I just think intangibly and quarterback, obviously you have need a lot of natural talent. You need to make be able to make the throws, be an athlete. But I think quarterback, if you don't have the intangibles, you can forget about it. Zach Wilson, there you go.
I'll compare him to Mr. Intangible, winner, everything. He quarterbacked here. His name was Mac Jones. He's out because he didn't have physical skills. How Mac can you not compare? You just said intangibles, right? And
Mac intangibles.
No, you don't think Mac Jones?
No, Mac was a crybaby. Like,
well, how do you know JJ's not gonna be a crybaby?
Yeah, I mean you don't, but that's just my.
That's fine. I just wanted to give you a hard time.
Can I just say, like, so you went through the play aspect of him and like the terrible take of argue, like, oh, he didn't do anything at Michigan. Like, I think Kevin and me also we don't rate him at all as a quarterback in general. But you also talked about intangibles. The thing with like Kevin is like he hates him. Forget football. Like if he were just a person, Kevin would hate him.
Yeah.
He brushes his teeth with his left hand. He does all this blah blah blah. He kind of, and it's like in a leader type of way. He kind of seems like a little bit of a phony. Like he's a try hard, but like I know being a try hard's like being a try hard's good and all, but he's kind of so
right head down a try hard.
He can run people the wrong way.
Listen, he played under Harbaugh. I'm sure. I mean, Harbaugh I would describe as somewhat of a try hard, so some of it probably wore off on him.
Try but, hard, you know, Harbaugh, try hard ass. That's what he is.
Right. Yeah, I know.
You're should I go get my Harbaugh hat?
You're not a big Harbaugh guy, I know. But, you know, Harbaugh, I don't think he'd just be throwing bouquets just to throw him because he was a, you know, he got him to two straight playoffs. I think he seriously, you know, loved the kid, like, as a person. Like, I think.
So you think the Chargers with that pick would take J.J. McCarthy? Really?
No. They're trading it to the Raiders.
On the Raiders today. Okay, that's right.
Raiders.
Chargers yeah. Trade the Raiders. But he coaches the Chargers. Yeah. They don't need a quarterback.
Right.
Okay.
Right. They don't
so the Minnesota's left hole in the bag.
Minnesota. Right. They're taking May at 3.
Oh, they're trading the page. Okay, I got you. Now I'm confused. Jack, give me the printout.
Well, I would.
Jack, can let me see your printout. So.
Well, now we can go through. No. We don't have to go pick.
Blind.
We can go through a little bit. J-Trump's got.
Can I just say a couple more things on McCarthy? Just because
I'm
yes,
go.
Say as much as you want. Honestly.
McCarthy love, baby, because this is gonna we're keeping this forever, baby. If he sucks, you're never gonna hear them. Just like Damian Lillard sucks, you're not gonna hear any of it.
No, that's fine. You can torture him though. I'm fine with that. I got two quick stats on JJ, okay?
Yeah.
48%. J.J. McCarthy converted 48% of his third and fourth down dropback passes. That's not the percentage of passes he completed. 48% is the downs that he converted. Now, you translate that to the NFL. You translate that to college. 48% on third down is good anywhere. But then you compare it to the other three quarterbacks in this class. 48%, better than those guys. Better than Caleb. Better than May, who we describe as these playmakers.
Jack,
so, you know, on money downs, J.J. McCarthy is a money player.
Yeah, but hold up, though. Didn't you say that he was playing on, like, the most physical team?
Yes,
in the
thank you.
He played behind, like, six NFL offensive linemen?
Jack, 48% of third and fourth down dropbacks.
Okay, cool. What was Caleb Williams?
How many times did he run the football?
The number? How much better? Yeah, but 42? 35, 45. That's all. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have that really.
Oh,
and the second other stat is in high school, his record was 36-2. In college, his record was 27-1. He's a winner.
That's bad for him though. 36-2 means he lost twice in high school. I don't want my guys losing at all in high school. LeBron actually lost in high school. Remember that? He lost.
Okay, so we know that you think J.J. McCarthy is better than Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
And that's good. That's why we have him there, because we'll bring this after the draft. We'll come back and look at it. That's great. And I know you're bringing up the intangible. So you think May is better than him because his intangibles, because of size, it works. Hey, there he is now. Tommy Trev just walks by. Look at here he comes. Tommy Trev. Look at that guy. All right. We have an appearance of the dog and Tommy Trev. Tommy T, baby. Can you hear it?
This is great. No, Jay Chung. All right, Jay Chung.
My IT girl, shout out.
What did he say?
It's my idea, and he got shut out.
We'll do basketball.
Love you, Tommy.
Tommy T, who's winning the finals? Real
quick.
Who's
winning the NBA finals, Tommy T?
Denver.
Hey, how's your boy Damian Lillard? Scores 35 points the first half and sucks the bed in the second half. What the hell's wrong with him?
Huh?
Nothing. Just Damian Lillard. Tommy, we'll get you on next week.
The NBA sucks anyways.
I know. See you later. They get you on next
that
week.
That was a great appearance.
All right, call. I'll talk to you guys.
All right, bye. That's gonna make my day.
All right, no, we got to keep going through this trap.
Go.
We don't have to stop everything. So 6 through 10, Jay Trev has the Giants taking Neighbors. So you have him as the second receiver. I'm assuming. Actually, I actually don't know.
Nope.
You know what?
Nope.
Forget about the mock draft. That really doesn't matter. I want to go through Jay Trev's big board. So Jay Trev has a Dunze fourth. So you have a Dunze over Neighbors. Why? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a Dunze. I think he. He can win at all three levels more effectively, and I think he's a little safer. I think Neighbors is the most explosive of the three top receivers, but I think a lot of his damage is yards after catch, which is a great skill to have in today's NFL. But I think that Odunze is a more well-rounded player. And, I think he has experience in those high-leverage moments this year in Washington, and you could see it. You could see him making plays in big time moments. So
Odunze's the sixth, right? The sixth on your draft board. So we have wide receiver, quarterback.
No. Yeah.
And then quarterback. Okay.
Let's just go through his top 10. So he has Odunze fourth. He has Joe Alt fifth. Brock Bowers, he has sixth. He's a Brock Bowers guy. Neighbors, he has seventh. Alu Fashano, he has eighth, who he has the Patriots getting at 11. I like that pick for the Pats. You get the capital, you get the tackle. Obviously, Jay Trev has an eighth to get him at 11. That's good
value.
That's
a kid from Penn State, right?
No, that's yeah. Yep. No, yeah. Isn't Alt? Where's Alt from?
No, Alt's from Notre Dame.
Yeah, okay. Fashano. I watched him play one game, Fashano, the kid on Penn State. I think it was against
Ohio State.
It was Ohio State. He got roasted the whole game, like annihilated for four quarters.
That was his worst game on tape.
Right or left tackle is he? Or just, left. What, left?
Left. Okay. He probably has some positional flexibility. Play, right?
All right.
Then he had McCarthy ninth and Dallas Turner 10th. I don't even know. Who's Dallas Turner?
The edge for
Alabama. Okay, yeah. Terrion Arnold, that's an Alabama guy. You have Quinion Mitchell above him. Amarius Mims. Jaden Daniels, 14th. Troy Fontano, 15th. And then my guy, Jared Verse, 16th. He didn't move up that much, but we were watching the game here together. Was it against Florida where he just took over the game in the second half? I'm a Jared Verse guy. You think, what, is he undersized, slow? What's his deal?
No, I just think, top-end stuff, he's probably not as bendy as that you'd like, but I just think, I think has a really high floor. I just don't know about, is he going to be like a 12, 13, 14 sack guy a season? I don't know. But he can be an every down player, good against the run, 8 sacks a year, I think, is his floor. So I like him as a prospect.
Well, that's your top 10. I'm going to just turn it over to the Patriots because we're New England.
Right.
If they make the trade, they're going to get what and what from Minnesota? If it's Minnesota, what do they get?
11, 23, and then assuming a first or next year, too.
Right. And so 11. Who would you think, if Jaden Daniels is drops like that, and I don't think he will, would they go at 11 and pick him, or would they continue along the thought process that we're going, maybe somebody else needs a quarterback, maybe they trade that pick and add 2 or 3 more picks because they draw Campbell. Where do they draw the line? And we don't know because Wolf, who knows what he's going to do, and Mayo, who the hell knows what he's going to do, and Kraft might say I want the quarterback, so they might already have May or Daniels on their number, and they're going to take them because Kraft wants to.
Right.
Is there enough talent at between 10 and 24 on your board? Like, who's this 23rd ranked player on the board, Jack? Who do you have
20th ranked player? He has Grant 23rd. Grant Barton's 20th. 23rd. We'll do 24th because I wanted to ask about this guy. We got a white cornerback coming to the NFL. Cooper DeJean, right?
Yep.
So that was his 24th. I wasn't listening to you guys.
Cooper DeJean.
Do the Patriots go that route, or do they Or do they just continue to build what they need to build? Maybe an offensive line where their strength, because they're not out of strength. So my question is, if they make the trade and they take the beating on not taking a quarterback, what are the players they need to take that'll make not just the fans happy, but the front office would be happy? What type of – what positions would they be looking at making the trade? Because you don't need a wide receiver. You don't have a quarterback, right?
No,
but
right.
You need an offensive line if you're going to take a quarterback. So they're sort of in the conundrum like that. So what are the What are the Patriots? What are the two biggest needs the Patriots have?
Well, quarterback, obviously.
I know that. Forget the quarterback.
Left tackle, 100%, I think, has to be the pick, especially with all the value in the top half of the first round this year. I think there's
there's nobody at three that'd be worth taking out, right? Left tackle.
I think three would be a little too high for Joe Walt.
Well, what about taking Marv at three? Are you totally against that?
No, I'm not.
You'd be fine with that because you have a number. You say he's probably gonna be best player in the class. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that if they have him that high on their board. Now, is it as sound as trading back, acquiring all those assets, and still getting a blue chip guy for your offense? A left tackle. It might not be as sound, but getting Marv in the mix will make whoever the quarterback's life easier.
So Jack,
wait. Basically, J Trev's night on Thursday as a Patriots fan, no matter what they do, he's happy with all three situations.
Right.
He's happy with taking May or McCarthy. If they get Daniels, I guess he's not happy with that. That'd be the only thing. He's happy with Marv, and he's happy with trading down.
You would be happy with Daniels if they got Daniels like at 11?
I think so. Assuming the process is good and they have them, around top 10 of their board.
Yeah, they're not going to get 11, but that's okay.
Right.
A specific draft question. Like in baseball, you never draft positionally. In football, you draft – they don't. If Kyle Teal's on the board, you don't
– that wasn't a reaction to you – to that statement. That was a reaction to something I saw in his mock draft that I hadn't seen before that we are going to have to talk about.
In football, you're going to be position specific so that you fill the needs that your team needs, correct? So the athlete available is Marvin Harrison, but he's definitely not going to go number one or two or three.
Right. Okay. And that's like, that would probably be my third option, taking Marvin three, just because even though you might be missing out on the best overall player in the draft, I think, resource and asset allocation, I think there's a few better options than that.
So it'll be an interesting night. The trend seems to be they're going to trade the pick.
So I have a question for you guys.
Wait, before you ask this question, I want to say, so you the trade the pick thing, you have them getting the 11th pick, but they'd also get the 23rd pick from Minnesota, correct? Which Minnesota just traded for. So J-Trev has the Patriots making that trade, getting that pick. And at 23, J-Trev has the Patriots drafting Bo Nix.
Oh.
Jack, look at the big board.
Is he even on there? That's why I didn't see him on the big board.
He's not even in the top 50.
That's why I didn't even notice. That's why I didn't even notice that till now.
So that would be
I wasn't even thinking of him because he wasn't on the big board.
Is that a stretch then?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. If the Pats view him as a decent prospect, taking him in the first round and getting that extra year on his deal could be valuable. But if they're not, if they have a day two grade on him or late day two, that's not – that won't be in the cards.
But they do need a quarterback, and if he's available, they like him, they'll take him.
I'm going to ask you guys this question. So they trade back. Where's the quarterback coming from? Do they stink again this year, and then they just wait till next year and grab one at the top?
Like, I think that I'm going to say I think they hope that Jacoby Brissett's average, because they're not going to be good anyway. Even if they get Drake May, they're not going to be good. Football, you don't just Houston drafted a quarterback, but after they did everything else and they got good, right? Buffalo drafted the quarterback, but it took them 3 or 4 years of building everything else up to get better again. So I think if your goal would be, if you don't draft a quarterback, because you're building draft capital, you're building your base of your team, you're not going to be good enough. You're going to get a top 5 or 10 pick anyway, which now you have draft capital. If a quarterback's out there, you like him, trade for it next year. it's hard if you're as sold on a guy like Drake May, you can't pass him up. That's what I believe. So it really comes down to, you said it earlier, what their process is and what they think they want. That's why I don't think they're going to be good anyway with any, whoever they bring in. It's a transition to a new coach, a guy who's never coached before. You know, it's an owner who's very meddling. And I don't think it's just a recipe for disaster. And it's like Dallas bringing in Brad Garrett. Is that who was the coach?
Jason Garrett.
Brad Garrett's the guy who was on Everybody Loves Raymond. Yep. And he does those Jimmy John's commercials or whatever the stupid thing is. But I think that's your issue now, is a new coach and a new quarterback and no talent, you're gonna fail. So I agree with you. I think they're better off trading down and building draft capital. Jack, what do you think?
Yeah, they're gonna suck next year, no matter, like I said before you got on this, they could draft Joe Montana, they'd suck next year. So I said they could draft Patrick Mahomes, they'd suck next year. So even if you draft a quarterback, like you draft Drake May, you play him the whole year, that could almost hurt him with how bad they are. They got no talent. So, again, if you're super sold on the quarterback, you take him. But I just wouldn't. I think they're going to suck no matter what next year.
Okay, so here's a good question for you, Jess. You guys are young, but this. What was the most influential top five pick Patriots ever made? Most influential.
Hey, Bledsoe, because he got hurt and it helped.
Bledsoe because he transformed the team into a winning team. But Barcells took Bledsoe first, and Meyer from Notre Dame was supposed to be intangible, all out of the bullshit. Better. So it was a great athlete versus Mr. Intangible at Notre Dame, and Parcells took the big gun quarterback, which is where you look at it, the big gun quarterback over the intangible. Drake May's over both those guys then, right? So that's why I think that was a transformational pick. It took Parcells from mediocrity to they made a Super Bowl, and it just happened he get hurt and Brady stepped in. But you don't get Tom Brady's every year. You don't ever get Tom Brady ever again. You know, even though Brock Purdy made a Super Bowl, he still shit to bed when he had a shit to bed in Super Bowl. He couldn't win a Super Bowl. So I just think it's going to be hard to pass up if you believe that May or Daniels is the guy. I don't think they pass him up.
Have to take him. Because you never know if you're going to be this high again. That's the issue. That's the one issue I have with trading back.
Right. So, I totally agree.
What if you stink next year, but you still, what if you have the seventh or eighth pick? You're not as in good of a spot. I mean, I guess you can trade up with the extra pick you got, but, you know, it's just not.
Right.
You never know.
You could be like Carolina and suck and have to give up your pick.
Yep. Right.
So if you take Minnesota's pick and Minnesota's going to pick that quarterback, that doesn't mean Minnesota's going to make playoffs. Minnesota, that pick might come to fruition for you. Just like if the Raiders, if you trade with the Raiders, I think you have a better shot than if you trade with Minnesota. And Raiders, new quarterback, new coach, everything new, a new coach who Peter Principle is way to the top. You know, all of a sudden this guy's he's a coach now. This guy's a special teams coordinator. He's now your head coach because everybody likes him. That's a disaster. So maybe that's the thought process, is we can get somebody next year who might get top two pick. I don't even know who's coming out next year. Everything's changing. But I think your point, J. Trev, is so you're so on point with if the process is to pick him, you pick him. If you want to pick him, you're going to take him. If not, you're going to trade down. Simple.
Right.
Simple.
Yep.
Anything else on the draft there, Jackson?
No, I mean, like, you're talking about the Bills trading up. He had the Bills at 28 taking a receiver, Adonai Mitchell. Kansas City trading to the Falcons. Did that already happen? Or is that something? They had them, the Falcons trading into the first round, the last pick to get Penix. That's all we went through all the quarterbacks he had. Any guys like that are kind of late first rounders that you're like big on?
Good question.
I like the Mashaun Nealon kid from Western Michigan. I'm pretty high on him. I think he's got some really projectable traits. You know, he's got the frame, the long arms, and you know, he's got the rush and against the run versatility. And he's also big enough to kick inside too on certain downs. So I think he has a chance to be a really productive player. Mike Sanderstil from Michigan, who I have on my big board, pride of Everett, Mass. I think he's a Swiss Army knife in the secondary. I was talking about J.J. McCarthy's intangibles. He might not even have the best intangibles on the team. McCarthy, Jim Harbaugh loved Mike Sanistrill. He was a 5-year player, 3-year captain, played his first 3 years on offense, played his last two on defense, started every game. The issue with him is he might be a touch under 5'10", so he projects to be a slot only guy. But, you know, I think, you know, you play him in nickel, you know, he could even play some safety for you. I think he's really versatile, and he has a chance to – I didn't have him in the first round in this mock, but I think he has a chance to find himself there. So he's one of my favorite guys.
When do you think the first running back gets taken? Third, fourth round? Does it
probably
really matter?
Probably late second, somewhere between
two. It'll be late, right?
Probably after 50, though.
Okay, so not there's nobody. There's no O.J. Simpsons out there.
No, well, for a multitude.
O.J. Simpson, who can slice through a hole better than anybody.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Did you know his nickname was Juice because OJ? Who said that at home, Jack?
Nobody did.
I hope we don't have another OJ Simpson.
That was a good. Jay Trev is our draft expert. Answer all the picks. We'll enjoy Thursday night. Unfollowed Adam Schefter, blocked him, everything. Is like Shams, whatever. Is he going to be tweeting the draft picks too? Do I have to get rid of him?
I think he was doing that last year.
Talk about tryhard.
It's almost one of the most boring television in the history of television. The first.
It's awful. It is awful. But it's going to be an interesting night for the Patriots' interest. So interesting drafts I can remember for Patriots.
Jay Trev with update on where he's working now. Jay Trev, where give us update. I know you moved to a new environment.
Yeah, I'm back at the alma mater, University of New Hampshire, up in Durham. New player personnel guy over there. Their guy left to pursue another FCS job. So I had known a few of the coaches in the past, so there was an opportunity to come back and hit the ground running and doing a little more, you know, in terms of transfer portal and, you know, in terms of scouting more than so I was doing at Harvard. So it's a nice gradual step up and, you know, the thing I got going on right now. So, you know, excited to be back at the alma mater and, you know, things are going well so far. So
since your dad picked Denver, who's the biggest challenge for the Celtics to win the championship this year?
I mean, I would probably say probably Milwaukee if they with Giannis. The East, like you just go down the list. Like
I know.
You can't find a team. I mean,
we did that earlier in the podcast. I want to ask that question. Do you tell your dad he's full of crap? Thinks Denver. You know why he likes Denver, don't you?
No. He doesn't want the Celtics to win. It's simple as that. I mean,
that's
true. Here's the thing. Like the Celtics, far and away, the best team in the NBA. Historical. I don't know, you know, the exact stats, but have to be a top 10, 15 regular seasons, you know, team of all time. Like, but I still worry about the things that have haunted them in the past. So I hope some of those trends, you know, it's not going to hurt them against Milwaukee. Knock on wood, I hope. But, you know, down the road in the Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals, if they get there.
You mean against Miami, not Milwaukee?
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, things fourth quarter, the game gets tight, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? They said that.
The biggest difference about that is they don't have a guy. Jay Trump's going to hate this, but they don't have a guy. Like, Tatum and Brown can struggle in those times, but they don't have a guy who, like, treats the ball like a grenade in those situations anymore either. I'm not going to say his name because I like the guy, but
we'll see.
They have a guy on their team. Like, they would have beat the 2 years ago. They would have beat the Bucks in six. If this guy didn't just do some of the stupidest stuff in the last couple seconds,
he played at Oklahoma State.
And Drew Holiday pants them.
Did he play at Oklahoma State?
Yes. Yeah, he did.
He was a Cowboy?
Yeah.
The other thing is they were talking about that J.J. Redick actually had a good point, and I actually admit I like J.J.'s pretty good on the broadcast. He takes care of the Doris Burke bullshit I got to listen to. But he made a good – what are you shaking your head for?
He likes Doris. Doris is washed.
Wow. I love Doris. Well, you think she's following?
She's too she's like, look, I don't know. I don't think, like, I feel like she doesn't watch as much basketball or something. I don't know. She says stupid things.
Finish up, Jim. Sorry to disrespect you.
Okay. So JJ Redick made a point that their quote unquote clutch situations, they're not as bad as people think they are. It's just that when they're bad, they look bad. So there were like two or three instances where they were bad. They've only had like 10 clutch situations all year. out of 82 games. So, you know, I think that's coaching. Jack disagrees with me. You know, if they spread the floor against anybody in there,
it's coaching. The sure, we'll go coaching, but J-Trip said the problems they had in the past. He wasn't just referring to last year's.
I know, but
before that as well.
The clogged toilet offense is going
to a different coach.
Paul Pierce.
It goes to the players. It goes to the players.
If they spread the offense, the coach, for one more thing, they spread the floor, nobody can beat him. Put Porzingis in the middle, nobody can beat him. There are defenses. But coaching, because Nick Nurse shit the bed last night as well, even though he didn't get the timeout, coaching has everything to do with it. Maxey's touching the ball and not Embiid. Embiid's, and we talked about this earlier.
Again, like I said, Nick Nurse is regarded as like one of the best coaches in the NBA.
And he did a shitty job.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. I'm all fired up now about Nick Nurse. I don't need to be.
We're good here. We don't need to keep
talking. We're good here. I do have my little boils down on Bog that Kevin wants, but Kevin, you're not getting one because they're mine.
Oh. I do need one of those.
Everyone needs. I only got three. The studio gave me three, so they give me three through CTV. All right. So J-Trev, Jack, do you have anything else? Last words, Jack.
No, I'm very excited for this draft, and also he probably will, when Kevin watches that J-Trev soliloquy about McCarthy, he's gonna lose his mind.
I'll see if I can get this up tomorrow. Hilarious.
Like I almost might like send him the timestamp and be like, can you record yourself?
We have to get this up by Thursday at 2. Me and I go, I can edit when we're done. Jay Chef, any last words?
What do you mean Thursday by 2? If it's not by Thursday by 2, what
do I have to do? I don't have time. I got a game to run
out. You got it tomorrow at 2. Tomorrow at 2.
I'll do the best I can.
All right.
Just hope you guys enjoy the draft. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, Super Bowls aren't won in April. Saturday.
That's the J. Trev crew day. Oh, yeah.
Dylan Lobby, UNH, he'll be there. but, you know, Super Bowls aren't won in April. Not really breaking news there, but they're important. You know, the draft's probably the most important team building, thing there is. You know, the draft kind of sets the foundation, so. It's going to be a big day for a lot of teams, big weekend, and I'm excited to see who, you know, the Pats come out with, who Colts come out with, and, you know, how the first round looks. So,
okay, it's perfect. He is our draft expert, our NFL expert, everything expert, J-Trev, Justin Trevisani, with a cameo appearance by Charlie. Is that Charlie? Is that the name of the dog?
Yeah, he's chilling.
Charlie is chilling, and also by the infamous Tommy T.
Did Tommy T let him in to kind of like feel it a little bit? And then Tommy T came in like a minute after the dog came in. It was perfect.
I should have put a bet in on that. I knew that was
coming. Yeah, all right. So, okay, time to wrap it up. It was great.
This isn't my fault. He called you out, by the way. You have to start doing the podcast with him again.
I know.
Zoom.
I'm a busy man. I got a team to coach.
All right.
They're 0-5. I'm not happy with them. They got to play better. I'm shouting you out if you watch. So, again, J-Trev, thanks for joining us. We'll get you back. We'll get everybody on. Jack Boyle, thanks for joining. You're always with me. Goddamn, I got to listen to yelling at me all the time. So, for episode 36 of It All Boils Down to This, I'm Jim Boyle, and we'll see you on down the road.
Thanks for listening to this episode of It All Boils Down to This, recorded at WCTV Studios in our hometown of Wilmington, Massachusetts. We are always open to any ideas, critiques, topics, and guests. So if anyone out there in podcast world needs to get a hold of us, we can be reached via email at jboyle22@comcast.net. Along with Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle. Make sure to tune in to the next edition of It All Boils Down to This.